Dear Robert, it's Tiffany. I am disguising my voice out of embarrassment for what happened that day at the museum. I am extremely sorry for wearing short shorts and for allowing my penis to slip out one of the legs in my shorts. I am also sorry for taunting you and for also flashing you my titties. One quick question, were my titties not good enough for you because they were sagging so low? P.S. I love you, Robert. Please forgive me. Sincerely, Tiffany.
Back to What Lies Beneath. It's been a real short week, but it's been a great one though. If you're new here, I know I always mention this, but you know, sometimes we like to use some foul language, so if you're faint-hearted, please leave now. And sometimes, you know, we make stupid jokes, dad jokes at times. We interject at the wrong times maybe sometimes, but you know what, Christian and I, we have a blast. We didn't do this to please everybody. We did it because, you know, we wanted to have fun. Basically, this is a way for him and I to kind of stay in connection due to him and I, you know, we're not really next to each other anymore. We do this online. So this is a way for us to still continue our friendship. And, you know, as Brokeback Mountain as that sounds,
I don't know, but that was true. That separation is definitely intentional, Trevor.
Yeah. And so,
this
you know,
is a charitable write-off.
With that being said, I'm your host, Trevor Montgomery, joined by my co-host, the infallible filler, a.k.a.
Oh, Christian. You stole my thunder, man.
I got it before you this time.
The infallible filler, Christian,
yes,
Trader.
The man, the myth. All right. So I wanted to start off reading a couple of reviews. First one is from Bobby Boucher, which I believe is Christian's sister. And I think I told her to leave a review when I was sloppy drunk at my bachelor party. So my bad. She says these guys
pleasantly inebriated.
Yeah. She wrote, these guys turned me and then ... into conspiracy theories. And then she left a little side note that makes, you know, after you tell a stupid joke, the ba dum bum. And then another one from MozFit. He said, if y'all are looking for something pretty interesting that keeps you on the edge of your chair, then it's a must. And these guys are the real deal. Appreciate that, Moz. And I believe that's Mitchell. Seriously, man, appreciate that. Him and I, we did a podcast together probably, I want to say it's been about 6 months ago now. But him and I, like, that's the reason I got into podcasting. So shout out to you, bro. Another one is from, and I really like this name, it's Megalodong. That's a really sick name. They said, these boys are doing great so far. Keep it up, fellas, and I'm sure you'll have a great fan base. I'm not too far from you guys, and I've actually been to Tower Hill Cemetery myself. You guys need anyone to check places out with or talk research, I would be happy to help. Thank you so much. That's super cool that you've been to Tower Hill. It is kind of a spooky place. I'd like to hear your opinion on it. As far as the research, though, goes, we definitely would be interested in having some help. Christian and I are pretty busy during the week, so any help we can get with that would be really helpful. So,
well,
yeah,
I'm
definitely reach out.
Trevor and myself and those who joined us for our various ventures into that cemetery are now infertile from the radiation from that radar antenna. But I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse. Maybe we shouldn't procreate.
Yeah, who knows, man. All right, now we had a couple bad reviews. We had a couple one stars, and you know, I was kind of a little bummed at first when I saw them, but then again, I was like, you know what, like, who cares? We're not trying to please the world. Like, again, like I was saying at the very start, you know, we did this to have fun because this is something interesting and we're both passionate about it. But anyways, they said, the first one's from Scrappy Coco. They said, there's a lot of vocal fry and droning. Listen if you can't fall asleep. You know what, man? We do what we can. Hope you've been sleeping well at night listening to our boring voices. So sleep tight, bro. Hope you're dreaming well.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're not dependent on narcotics, then we're doing something right.
Yeah, dude. We do what we can here, What Lies Beneath. So the next one we got was from Malm Tree. I'm not sure what the hell that means. They said, it's two guys just rambling about dicks and not the topic at hand, and then they make too many stupid jokes that make the show awkward. First of all, I want to correct that. I think there was only one episode where we talked about dicks. And second of all, what's wrong with dicks? You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Christian and I, we're super geeky. We make really terrible jokes. So if you don't like that, don't listen to the show. We warned you in the beginning every single time. So there's no excuse. So before you leave a bad review like that, please just leave. We don't want you here anyways. Then the final one was from Wicked Sherry. Thanks, Sherry. She said, loving these guys. Amazing podcast. Don't miss it. Seriously, appreciate that.
I'm so glad you ended on a good note. I was afraid that you were approaching this as good news, bad news. No, you always got to end with a uptick, man. You did well. I should know you better by now.
Yes, sir. So, man, we have some very, very sad news. I wanted to read this article real fast if you guys have not heard about it. All right, so you might want to get tissues ready here. So Stacy's mom, the infamous Stacy's mom, she's dead at 53 years old. So I want to read the article. It says, world-renowned MILF Stacy's mom, made famous by rock band Fountain of Wayne, died suddenly last night due to a heart attack at the age of 53. Sources close to the family confirmed.
And then Was she banging at the time?
Let me finish, man. There's some really funny tweets. There's some really funny tweets in here that people wrote. It says, I was watching her out at the pool all day, said 18-year-old David Anderson, who described Stacy's mom as his guardian angel. Then I saw her grab her chest and run inside all nervous. Like, I got worried, you know? So I called 911. They took her away in an ambulance. If I hadn't been spying on her like always, who knows how long it would have been until they found her. It's a shame she passed before I could work up the courage to talk to her. Stacy's mom, who recently returned from a business trip to Toronto, allegedly showed no sign of distress before the incident. It also goes, I'm truly going to miss her, acknowledged Stacy's mom's daughter, Stacy. She was a great mom and an even better friend. I'm just nervous that the memorial this weekend is going to be filled with a bunch of creepy dudes with middle parted hair wearing unwashed dress shirts. That could very well be.
Hey, the middle part and the mustache is all coming back.
It's still going, so there's a little bit left. Here's a tweet that I saw, and dude, some of these I freaking died, man. It said, I'll always remember that time I mowed your lawn and you winked at me. Another one tweeted,
is that a euphemism?
Yes, and it said RIP Stacy.
You think
mom.
Electric razor, or you think it was shaving cream?
Dude, I'm not really sure. That's a good one though.
I don't know.
See, like that, man.
The vibration from the buzz might had a little sensation.
You see right there, dude, that joke you just made, I think that was definitely appropriate and not awkward, like a Malm Tree said. So all right, and then another user by the name of MILF Hunter 69, they tweeted, even in death, she had it going on. I mean, that's pretty it. But you know what's really kind of fucked up about that whole like article and story is the fact that dude was spying on her like every single day. But I mean, if you look like her back in the day, I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, how old were we when that song came out, dude? We're back probably like eighth grade or something. So yeah, she was definitely had it going on. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like early 2000s, right?
Yeah, it was early. I feel like we should play that song.
It's up to you, man. I'm down for whatever. I'm
hanging tight. All right.
If you want karaoke, we can karaoke.
Oh, God. You don't want that from us. So
too many beers deep for that, but.
Yeah, not. I mean, I'm on two glasses of water right now. So, you know, one thing I wanted to mention real fast before we get started, the topic today, I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. You'll probably be able to tell, though, from our intro. We haven't actually recorded it yet, but it's going to be really cool. And I'm going to feel like a total asshole if I can't get it to work. But anyways, we're doing Robert the Doll today. And super interesting story. There have been some movies out there based around it. But yeah, Christian and I are interested in the paranormal and some, you know, spooky stuff. So this is going to be a fun one. But real fast, I wanted to mention, if you guys want some What Lies Beneath stickers. Go ahead and shoot us a picture of a 5-star review that you've left, screenshot it, and then email it to whatliesbeneathpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to order those probably this Friday, so it'll be couple weeks.
I'm really glad that you proceeded to give a specific description after you said shoot us a picture.
Why? What do you mean?
I don't know. It's open-ended.
YOLO, dude. YOLO. All right. You ready for this, dude? You ready to get into it?
You asking me if I'm ready to do a podcast and I'm sitting here with a microphone next to my mouth for? I would hope so, man.
Good, dude. Good. I just wanted to ask that real fast so you would answer and I could get some water.
This is more of a documentary of us giving a podcast rather than us actually giving a podcast. So,
all right, let's get into it. So, I want to start off. So, there are a couple different origins of where Robert actually is based from, or started from, or how he actually got into Robert's hands. So, the doll originally belonged to Robert Eugene Otto, and for the remainder of the episode, I'm going to call Robert Eugene, because later you'll find out that the doll actually takes over Eugene's first name, and he becomes Robert, and then now he's Eugene, so I'm going to call him Eugene from now on. So he was a really spectacular artist, actually. That's something that a lot of people may not know about him. He's also very, very weird. He's from Key West, Florida. Key West is often known for being haunted. There are a few different attractions there. The most famous one being the museum where Robert is now located. So the first story of origin is the first one I'm going to talk about is about his grandfather. Then the second one's the more interesting one that we're going to roll with. But first of all, it's often disputed where the story actually came from, because the story has been passed down for generations, so it's like one of those stories that your family tells that changes from year to year to year, generation from generation. And, there's just always one little detail that's off, and then it's, 10 years down the line, the whole story is completely different. So, that could be the case here, but who knows? It still makes for a great story. So, the most common story, I guess, or the most believable, probably the most truthful one, is the story of Eugene's grandfather. His grandfather traveled to Germany, and he got the doll from a company called Steiff. They're known as the Steiff Company. And I looked up what that was, and I got a little bit of a background on it for you. So, Richard Steiff, or Steiff, hopefully I'm not pronouncing that wrong.
Steiff,
okay. It's German, so Christian could handle that way better than me. But he was a German designer known for helping create the teddy bear. He got his inspiration from visiting the Nilscher Zoo, where he sat for hours as a kid drawing pictures of bears. The Steiff Company sold 12,000 bears at the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. That's the same year that Eugene got the doll. Selling those 12,000 bears captured them the gold medal, which was the event's highest honor. So that's pretty cool. They weren't really known for creating anything other than like teddy bears, which is kind of weird to me, I guess. But it was also said that the doll was, it wasn't really meant to be sold.
What's so weird about producing teddy bears, man?
No, I'm just saying it's weird that they produced this doll, because they were known for producing teddy bears. So it was said that,
hey, you know what? That's a diverse market right there. They're embracing capitalism to its fullest. I give them props, man.
True.
Not weird.
Very true. I agree with that. They're in the business of making money at the end of the day.
They're not socialists.
They're not commies. That's for damn sure. That was a
probably
joke.
Get a 1-star from a commie.
That was a joke. It was said that the doll was meant to be a part of a clown or jester display, whichever word you like using there. It was also common.
Distinctly different. They're jester and a clown have very different classifications.
Who gives a shit, bro? It's the same.
Similar career path, but just different approaches.
All right. It was also, it was commonly known that Eugene wore a sailor outfit similar to the outfit that the Steiff company put on Robert the Doll. So he has a sailor outfit, and we'll post the picture, obviously. He has a sailor outfit. And he has
an opportunity for me to look at Google images. I'm just going to cycle through like 300 Google images while Trevor's talking. If you don't hear anything from me for a while, you know why.
Yeah, not a problem. So, yeah, he had the sailor costume, and he had scars on his face almost. And they were like really
pock marks. If we're talking about similar. True cosmetic deformities, it's pock mark, not scar.
I know, but what I'm saying is that it resembled scars, like almost to a T. So it was kind of creepy in that way.
Oh, and, from the beginning. That's not deterioration over the course of time. That's a legitimate.
And you could also see Robert holding, I believe it's a dog. I also saw somebody else say it was something different, but I'm going with the dog because dogs are awesome. And so that brings us to our next origin of the start of Robert. All right. So the fun one kind of starts out. So the Otto family, they had some servants and maids due to them living in a mansion. It still stands today on the corner of Simonton and Eaton. That's all Gabe, so I don't know exactly where that's at.
Actually, Trevor, before you continue, I do want to have a shout out to Robert the Doll. He's been known to get offended if he's not been consulted. We take his silence as acceptance of our discussion over his various pursuits in the past. I don't want to have any bad shit happen to me in the next few weeks. So,
right. I agree. I should have did that in the beginning, dude.
Robert, come on, Robert, you're a cool dude. I mean, you've got a following of what, 9,000 or received 9,000 likes on Facebook. So, yeah, he's received critical acclaim. We give you true fame here.
Yeah, if we don't have an episode next week or whatever, for some odd reason this one fucks up, it's because of Robert. So if you do hear this episode, then we're good. He forgave us. So again, like I was saying, they were in the mansion. At that time, I guess servants and stuff and maids. Now, this is just my own opinion, or I guess I'm trying to form an opinion about this. I think that back in those times, I guess servants and maids were, you know, almost similar to like slaves. They lived in a mansion, which basically meant that they needed help. So they had maids. So one of the maids at the time was caught practicing voodoo. And, you know, obviously if you catch your maid stabbing a doll and shit and saying some chants, you're probably going to fire her ass. So yeah, they fired her. But before she was out for good, she gave
just an effective way to occupy your free time.
Mm-hmm. And before she was out for good, they gave her a present, or sorry, she gave a present to Eugene, which was Robert the Doll. And at the time, Eugene, he probably thought, oh, this is cool, this is a present, but little did he know it would be the curse. So the doll was cursed because obviously she used some of the voodoo on the doll to bring fear and discomforts to the family. So now we'll get into sort of the beginning, I guess, with, you know, Eugene and Robert. So the doll wasn't always necessarily looked at as being haunted or cursed. You know, children, you know, you've seen your little niece or nephew. They cling to a toy. They bring it everywhere with them. They talk to it. They have it acting out, singing and doing some crazy shit. It wasn't really looked at as being odd or peculiar. So Eugene, he took Robert everywhere with him. And even though Robert the Doll was a bit big for Eugene to carry, which when Eugene was eight years old, the doll stood at 3 feet tall. So it's a big ass doll.
That's significant. That's something I didn't realize is that I wondered where the hell they get the sailor suit. Mm-hmm. No, it was jeans, and they repurposed it for, could you imagine having a 3-foot doll just hanging around?
Dude, my parents got me this. I don't know. I feel like
I was a total Thomas the Tank Engine guy, man. I just had, which is strange too. You got to slap a face on a locomotive. That's strange too. But I'm not gonna distort my childhood right there.
Yeah, dude. My parents got all of us kids. So I have a brother and a sister. They got us all these like dolls that were probably like 2 feet tall. They were creepy, dude. They reminded me of Chucky. Like I woke up one night in the closet.
So it was like Trevor Jr.
I don't know what they were, dude, but the closet door was open.
Was it supposed to like mimic you? Was it a particular outfit that you and that the doll had, or what's going on here? Why did Kenny and Gaina decide to provide this doll for you?
Dude, honestly, I'm not really sure what they had in mind, but one night the closet door was open and I happened to wake up in the middle of the night and I could see in the closet and this freaking doll was staring at me, dude. It was creepy from that night on, man. I've kind of had this little like fear of dolls. So, all right, now, okay, we were at where the doll's 3 foot tall. So he was never seen, without this, you know, creepy ass doll. You know, like most children, like I was saying, you know, they have imaginary friends or, you know, these dolls that they talk to just like they would their best friend. So, Eugene was oftentimes heard whispering to Robert. You know, this was pretty normal. No one was really alarmed until one specific time where they heard a deep voice responding to Eugene. So just imagine that. You hear your son talking to their doll, and then you hear like this deep, deep, like creepy demon voice come back. So this is where the story starts to get strange. On a nightly basis.
Starts.
It was kind of weird, you know, until this happened, and now it's mega weird. So on a nightly basis, commotion could be heard coming from Eugene's room. And when the parents went to investigate, because obviously, you know, if you hear some shit going crazy upstairs, you're going to investigate unless you're a terrible parent. But furniture was found overturned, toys were mutilated or ripped apart. And then when the Otto family went in to check it out, they found Eugene sort of huddled up on the bed, petrified, saying that Robert had done it all. He blamed it all on Robert. So in other words, Gator don't play no shit, because man, don't fuck with Robert. That's all I have to say.
Wow. That was intense.
Could you imagine though? Like you're a parent, you go upstairs and you see like your son's teddy bear is like ripped into pieces, and then you're like, son, and then he's like, it was Robert. Like I think this, they never said it, but I feel like he may have had some like mental issues. Like I do believe in, you know, demon and stuff like that, but
yeah, but attributing blame to a particular entity is a sign of intelligence, and not, I shouldn't say not being psychotic, but it's not, I don't know. I think there are some aspects to consider there. Whether or not this doll that I don't even think it has distinguishable digits from its hands, I think it's more or less just like a mitt. Or maybe it's Robert's dog that's haunted. Maybe it's not even Robert. Robert's doing his best to keep the dog at bay, and that dog is just a serious biatch and gets away from him.
You know, dude, I never thought of it that way, but that could be.
Look at this. I mean, the dog is always with Robert. And man, its tongue is out, its mouth is open, it's ready to bite. It's ready to go to town.
Yeah, me too, dude. All right. Now we're moving onward. So it eventually got so bad that Eugene, you know, if it wasn't bad enough, he was huddled up, scared shitless about all this stuff happening in his room. He reported to his parents that the doll would move. I mean, if you ever watched any of the movies, that's kind of one thing that they highlight quite a bit, because honestly, I mean, what else can you do with a doll besides make it talk and shit? But after reporting this, the family, you know, this is when they were like, all right, this is the last straw. We're getting pissed. We're going to put this doll in the attic. And so they did. They banished him to the attic. New servants were hired shortly after. And then, you know, not long after they were hired, they quit their jobs because they were so terrified of what was happening. Because what was reported was actually the aunt is the one that banished Robert to the attic. And supposedly on the same exact night, she died. So was it Robert? Did she have a heart attack because she was old? You know, who knows? But it's kind of creepy. But despite the banishment, the Otto family would often hear Robert moving frequently around upstairs, or in the upstairs portion of the house, well, the attic, basically. They would hear footsteps echoing throughout areas of the property that were completely empty. And you could also sometimes hear Robert's giggles in the middle of the night. Man,
I don't know about your dad, Trevor, but my dad had a penchant for just throwing out whatever excess shit we have, which included any toys as children. It was a traumatic experience. I can't imagine that they would hold on to this thing if they truly, truly thought it was demonic. And here's another thing. I don't understand if they thought that it was the culprit for all of these mishaps that they would allow it to be locked up in the attic. Why wouldn't they have it in just a separate room and just propped up and not locked away? If they think that it's actually a malicious entity, wouldn't they think that if they accommodated some of its whims that it would be more friendly? I don't know. It's just, it's kind of bass ackwards that this shit still occurred even after they threw him up in the attic. So
it's definitely a good thought.
And just from the brief stories you've mentioned, it appears that if Robert is some sort of possessed artifact, that he just wants respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Plain and simple.
Yeah. And a lot of times you'll hear that if spirits are dark or whatever, you know, most of the time they're just kind of lost, you know, wherever spirits are. And you know, they just need closure, I guess. You know, it's something
spirits are in the liquor cabinet.
They didn't have the proper closing or closure, I guess, and they're just kind of in limbo. And then, you know, maybe that's all they need. They just need somebody to, you know, notice them. And then, but you know, I guess they kind of did the opposite. They threw the bastard in the attic. And, you know, maybe they kept him too, because like I was
Robert,
saying,
you're truly not a bastard.
Yeah.
You're a legitimate force to be contended with.
I keep forgetting, man. We're talking shit on him.
Yeah.
He's going to
talk shit about Robert.
He's going to shit on us. Back to what I was saying about the possible like mental thing. You know, you never know. Maybe his parents were like, oh, you know, which they probably did. They probably like, that's just bullshit. That's just Eugene. You know, he's just a little crazy. He'll grow out of it. You know, we're going to throw this doll up in the attic. No big deal. But yeah, I'll keep going now. Let's see. Probably. Okay. Yeah. So despite all the bad shit that has happened so far, Eugene, first of all, the Otto family, not long after that, I think they were probably, Eugene was probably like 15, 16, whatever, somewhere in that age. Their family moved to Paris for a little bit. And this is where Eugene meets the love of his life. I believe her name's Anne. I'm just going to call her Anne. I think it's like Annette or something. But, you know, they end up getting married. And guess what their house, or guess what their present was? It was the mansion. So Eugene's parents gave them the mansion as their wedding gift. So they got back and Robert could be heard at night again. He was starting to pick up again. And so the doll was still in the attic. And so that, you know, they got him down. And stuff.
He wanted some of that Anne love too, man.
Yeah. He wants some of that Anne pussy. So Eugene kept Robert as he grew up into an adult. So I thought that was kind of like, you know, if you're really afraid of this thing, why are you keeping it? But anyways, I mentioned before he's an artist. So this is pretty much what he did. I mean, he was really, really good. He did a little bit of architecture and stuff too, and designing houses. And I'll throw a fun fact in there here in a little bit about the museum. But anyways, he worked as an artist, and he kept Robert propped up in the window of his house nearest the street. So basically it's like an old style house with like a turret room. So it's, if you don't know what that is, it's like a room that's kind of like in like a circular sort of form. And it's usually at the edge of a house and there's windows all around it. If you don't know what that means, just look it up and you'll be able to see a picture of it. But Robert demanded that he be put into this room. So he demanded Eugene. He's like, hey, put me. I don't know what happened, but Eugene sensed it, that he was pissed. So he propped him up in the window of the house. And so when school children would walk by, they would oftentimes report that the doll would disappear from sight for a split second before reappearing right before their very eyes. So, that's creepy. That kind of reminds me of the old movies where...
I mean, you have to realize that this was in the era when they were probably using lead pipes for plumbing. I'm sure they still do. And they had asbestos in the walls of various schools. So we're relying on the word of said school children that are exposed to these this hazardous environment. I think that their cognizance could be in question. So I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Plus, they didn't have anything to occupy their time. So they just sit there and stare for a while and conjure up crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, kind of along with that same story, the house kind of gave off this certain vibe, you know, that creepy feel. You walk past an old looking house and you're like, oh, it's got to be haunted. So people would often go out of their way just to avoid the house. So if it was 15 minutes to go a different route, they didn't give a shit. They went for it just to avoid it. So Annette, or whatever, Eugene's wife, she was not very fond of Robert. So, you know, her being a woman, you know, she was like, "Hey, I'm going to show him. I'm going to throw Robert back in the attic." And so Robert, of course, did not like this. So, again, he demanded Eugene to allow him to have the room that faced the street. So he wanted that turret room. That was his domain. And basically... for the remainder of Eugene's life, he spent his years as an artist. You know, he was in the room with Robert every day, painting, talking to his doll, having a good old time until his death in 1974. He was born in 1900, so I mean, he lived a pretty long life. He had this doll for 74 years. That's freaking insane. And you never really know what's left behind with the doll. Maybe that's kind of why the story still continues. So I'll get into that now. And here soon we're going to read some of the letters that people write Robert. So, all right.
So on various like shows from the History Channel and Military Channel, I guess now the American Heroes Channel, et cetera. This is a dramatic reenactment.
Is it really?
I hope so. I hope you've got your game voice on.
Is that you said that they reenact this?
No, yeah, forget it.
What was the joke? I missed it, dude. I'm really
the joke. So, like on commercials, or sometimes they show a historical event that they have actors portraying what happened, even though it's way past this. They have a caption. This is a dramatized historic event, stuff like that.
The infallible filler, everyone. Yeah, dude. I think you and I should reenact this story. The house still stands, so we should think about it. All right, now let's get into.
You want me to go first since you've been speaking for a while?
I have just a little bit more, and then we'll get into some of the stories that, or sorry, some of the.
Oh man, I just saw a picture. I just saw a picture of the museum, and it's just a picture of Robert's dog, and then a reflection that looks like an Annabelle doll that's within the glass. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creepy.
It is creepy. I think there's a certain time of year, and I think it's in October, where Robert and Annabelle are together in a separate location down in Florida. So that's kind of creepy. And you know what's really weird about this is, you know, the wife's name is Annette or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't really have any ties, I don't think, but it's still kind of weird that the doll's name is Anne and this is Robert and they're together.
All roads lead to D.B. Cooper, man.
Damn straight. Dude, that's the episode where we talked about dicks. And I think that's the episode where I think that dude got pissed.
I can't even keep a straight face. Anyway.
Okay, so after that, the house was sold to a woman by the name of Myrtle Reuter. And she Okay, so she confirmed many of Eugene's old stories of Robert. So, you know, she bought it. She's like, okay, this guy's kooky. He's just an artist up in the turret room painting pictures of who knows what, and he's full of shit. Well, she bought the house. She moved in, and she confirmed that the stories were actually legit. So she would oftentimes find Robert in an entirely different location than where she had left him. And like I said, in the movies, this is portrayed a lot. So, you know, visitors were not too fond of the home because Robert would disappear and reappear pretty much like on command. So, you know, leave the room and he'll go to, you know, he'll be in a different spot. So another fun fact. So whenever anybody would speak negatively about Eugene, so if you haven't seen the doll, he already has a super weird expression. It would seemingly change
lack
to
thereof.
Yeah, it's bizarre though. I mean, just the look
there's
of
no
the
doll. Mouth. There's no defined nose, nothing, no eyebrows. It's expressionless yet. It provokes some emotion. It's strange.
Mm-hmm. And it said that when people speak negative of it of Eugene, the already bizarre look would, you know, seemingly change a little bit. So that's kind of cool if that's real. In which it is, Robert. I'm sorry, it was real. It's real. So in 1944, Robert was donated to Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida, and that's where he still resides today. And a fun fact about the museum, I saw that, or I read somewhere that Eugene is the one who designed the museum. So they're still connected even after death do them part. So that's pretty fucking cool. And so a little bit about Robert today in the museum, and then I'll let Christian read a few letters, and then I have a couple to read as well. So Robert today. So with Robert being held captive at the museum in a glass case, you know, you'd think the curse would be sealed, but you know, this was far from the truth. And actually before he was sealed, they had Robert in like back room. He wasn't on display yet. The staff would notice, you know, the lights blinking, shit would be out of place, just crazy stuff like that. But yeah, and then they eventually put him in a glass case, and he still causes terror to this day. So Robert's move to the museum, it kind of seemed to broaden the legend or kind of bring it to life even more. So if you guys have ever heard of like Slender Man or whatever, you know, it started off as like a creepypasta, and then a lot of people talked about it, and it's almost as if people, you know, we brought the legend to life. You know, I think the story goes two little girls killed one of their best friends because Slender Man told them to kill him or to kill her or whatever. So pretty crazy.
Oh, they didn't kill. They didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, no, they two girls killed.
They
their
almost.
Friend. Oh,
they
she almost didn't die. Okay, well, they beat her. They beat the shit out of her then.
Well, I think they stabbed her a ridiculous amount. They lured her in the woods and stabbed her. Anyway.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
So yeah, I think the reason that they put Robert in a glass case on display is because a lot of people found out that Robert was being held there or whatever. So people were flocking here to see it. And so they're like, okay, well, this is a moneymaker, damn straight. We're going to put him on display. So I think all the attention is sort of heightened the legend, if you will. So there are a lot of bad luck accounts to visitors after leaving the museum. So the visitors, you know, they may have taunted him, you know, or they were very skeptical like myself, or, you know, cause you know, if you remember from Tower Hill, the tree in the middle that supposedly people got hung from, I was like, bullshit, you know, I was kind of taunting the tree, you know, hitting it and stuff. So
no shit, you're in it.
Robert would probably, I'd be dead if I went and saw Robert probably.
Yeah, Robert would eat your ass alive, man.
and you know, people would they would try to take pictures and stuff. You know, that's totally fine. All this stuff is fine, but you know, the key point, you have to ask for permission. Exactly. You have to seek for permission. And how they actually know if you know, if they get permission, I'll never know, because I mean, it's not like he said, okay, you can take a picture of me.
What accent? Was that a Key West accent? Okay, go take a picture of me.
That was Robert, actually.
So Robert has an accent that just transcends the Key West and the United States.
Pretty much. So the staff at the museum claim that Robert has been found in different positions within the glass case. Footsteps can be heard all through the museum, and Robert's expression has been known to change from normal, you know, this sort of blank stare, to nasty in the blink of an eye.
I don't get that one. I honestly don't. I think you can perceive that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
looking at him for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't observe a pleasant stare by any means. It's apathetic, if not menacing.
Well, you know, it's kind of similar to if you're in a dark room or a dark place and, you know, your eyes are trying to adjust and your eyes sort of play tricks on you. I think that's kind of in the same sense here. I don't really think that it actually changes, but.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say is that your mind plays tricks on you. I know that cliche has been asserted so many times, but it's true. And you just because you go in and out of states of consciousness when you're thinking, and all of a sudden you just become more aware of your environment. You're more inclined to use your peripheral vision, and all of a sudden, well, you think something changed, even though you just became more aware for the fact that you paid attention to your surroundings, and you just remained static. Anyway,
yeah, I agree with you there, dude.
So I think it's real easy to perceive things that aren't there or were there. It's just you became more aware over the course of time.
Exactly. And so visitors are oftentimes, you know, when they come into the museum, they go to the front desk. The people at the front desk, they say, hey, this is how you should approach Robert. Speak to him in a polite way. Ask for permission to take a photo and treat him with respect. And if you do all these things, you're golden. You know, nothing's going to happen. He's going to be nice to you. And so with that being said, though, all the bad luck and stuff has sort of brought on this, again, I feel like it's kind of heightened the legend. So people will have bad shit happen to them, and we're going to read some letters here in a minute. And you know, they claim that
I've been primed to read these letters for a while, man. I'm starting to get the mail, dude.
We're getting there, dude. They claim that they've encountered dreadful misfortune, gotten into accidents, relationship breakups, experienced death or disease in the family, stuff like that. And, you know, people started writing letters to ask for forgiveness. And there are over 1,000 letters today in total. And these are all cataloged and kept at the museum. And so, boom, that's the end of that. Now we're going to read a few letters, and I want to let Christian start it off. And then after we read some of the letters, we'll kind of discuss some final thoughts on kind of what we think about it. And then we'll let you be on with your way. So, Christian, hit it up, man.
So I'm going to try to emulate Kathy, what I perceive to be
please
Kathy.
Please do.
Robert. Sorry I did not ask out loud to take your photo. Since then, my husband lost his diamond of 1 carat, parentheses, out of his ring. I tore my rotator cuff and my daughter's wedding was canceled. All happened before I returned home. Please stop the curse. I am truly sorry. There should be a comma inserted there. That's a side note. And life is tough enough. Sincerely, Kathy.
That poor bastard lost his diamond out of his ring. Hope he has the insurance plan.
Wait a minute. I've got one that's multiple paragraphs. It's Rosie. Should I read Rosie?
Yeah,
what do you want me to do, man? You said two letters. I don't know what letter to
read it, man.
Oh, yeah. We'll do Rosie Palms.
Was that supposed to be a Rosie Palmer joke?
Rosie's definitely from Alabama.
Yeah.
Dear Robert, I am very sorry for not asking your permission to take your picture while visiting the museum last week. Since I have take your picture, well, that's wrong.
Go ahead.
Since I have take your picture without permission, many strange things have happened to me. And while driving back from the Keys, a deer ran out in front of the car. We had to swerve out to avoid hitting it and ran off the road. Foo, we almost hit a tree. 2 days later, we had a small kitchen fire. I thought it said chicken fire. Side note, I broke character. Sorry. Also, we have been hearing childlike giggles from our basement. Last night, well, they live on top of a preschool. But why would a preschool be operating at night? I was making a joke and it didn't make any sense. I digress.
I heard a voice coming from the basement. When I went to investigate, I tripped and fell down the bottom three stairs. Man, that's very specific. I got up to run out, but the door was locked. My husband said that I probably turned the lock myself without even thinking about it. That doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
Keep going.
But honestly, Robert, we both know the truth. Please accept my deepest apology for taking your picture without asking. Also, please accept my daughter's apology for sticking out her tongue at you and making fun of you. Sincerely, Miss Madam Rosie.
Thank you for that, Rosie. I'm sorry to hear about your misfortunes. Hopefully, Robert will forgive you. So I'm going to read one here, and I don't have a cool accent, so sorry you get to hear my droning vocal fry voice a little bit more. All right, so last week we were in the Key West soaking up the history and wonderful sunshine. We are from New Hampshire. I hope that's what NH stands for. And oh, man.
Hey, you got to roll with the changes here, man. NH. And,
yeah. And we're not
NH positive.
Yeah. All right, let me get this going. And then I think we may have like one more. So we're not strangers to ghostly tales. Little did we realize that Robert the Doll was more than just a tale. We went to the museum and was told by a very nice lady at the front desk to be sure and ask for Robert's permission if we wanted to take his picture. So I just laughed at such a silly statement. This is probably what I would have done too. So we went into the room where Robert was gazing at us. I snapped his picture, not once, but three times. We then proceeded into the gallery where it was air conditioned, and there were some beautiful artwork on the walls. I found one painting that caught my eye and decided to take a picture of it. That's when it all started. As I snapped the pictures, I looked at my camera and it said, "No images," in all caps. All the 50 plus pictures that we had taken in Key West were suddenly gone. We went parasailing the next day and the boat captain took a video of us in the air. We got back home and the disc was blank. We went to a camera store and they could find no reason why our pictures were gone and why the disc was blank. I also have been hearing some strange noises during the night since I've been home. To all who may read this, please listen to the nice lady at the front desk. Ask Robert's permission if you want to take his picture. That poor woman, man. And one thing I wanted to say real fast before I forget, another story about Robert at the museum, which is actually kind of cool. I don't know if this is true, but apparently there was like a hurricane. I'm not sure when it was, but so I don't know, again, the year exactly. So sorry about that. But basically, the museum, some of the stuff in it kind of got destroyed by water damage, but surprisingly enough, Robert took no damage at all, because guess where they found Robert? They found him up in the rafters without anything happening to him at all. So he's perfectly safe. Nothing happened to
him. That's cool, man.
Isn't that creepy as hell, dude?
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's true, but you know what, man? Again, stories passed down from generation to generation.
I have to believe it. I mean, I'm sure that the Keys is right there. It's mm-hmm. in the thick of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and
the Gulf, where all it is.
Another detail that I missed too, in the glass case, sometimes when people or when the staff comes in the morning, they see like dust on his shoes or his feet, and like he had been out of the case walking around. So that's kind of creepy as well. And you know, I don't
or
know.
They just have shitty methods of preserving their artifacts. Who knows? I don't know.
And so that kind of wraps up our Robert story. But, you know, there's, I guess, you know, we can kind of give our own opinions as to what we think, you know, might be happening here, what might be real and
that's
not
what
real.
You've all been waiting for is our expertise in this subject matter. In fact, any subject matter for that case.
I'll let you get started with it, though.
All right. I don't think dolls are possessed. I really don't. I think that mankind possesses an immense amount of energy, and energy is inherently invisible. I mean, can you tell me how energy is converted from electrical to mechanical, and is that visual? So I do think mankind itself possesses a lot of energy, and something is as lifelike for the sense that it emulates a human form as a doll, that whatever this untapped energy is that we have within ourselves somehow manifests itself in this inanimate object, and just becomes alive or has subtle moments of animation, things of that nature. Because I think when we interact with the doll, it's different than any other object or inanimate object, just because it's trying to duplicate our features. And if you notice, from every doll that I've seen, dolls do not directly match all of the human features. It's up to the artist's perspective. So we're constantly analyzing this doll. What's different? Why are these features different? Things like that. We're trying to insert some sort of life in this blank object. And I think that somehow through whatever metaphysical channels that we just assert energy in these beings and they somehow become alive, or I'm just bullshitting and it's really all just hysteria. I don't know, but that's kind of my perspective, Trevor.
Yeah, dude, I kind of agree in a sense, but I do also think that somehow, you know, I feel like items, you know, because maybe I just watch too much TV, but like things, I feel like spirits can kind of get attached to like an item. Like, again, like if they haven't necessarily accepted death, so they're kind of just still out there, but as a spirit, not really, you know, they don't have full closure. They're like, what the fuck? Why am I dead? And, you know, whatever it may be. And I feel like they're still attached to certain items. And you know what? We don't really have any background as to why they made this doll in the first place. You know, allegedly it was used as a voodoo doll, whatever. But then again, you know, maybe.
Are you speaking about Robert in particular? You're saying you don't know the intention of constructing the Robert the doll?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Because, you know, like, again, his grandfather supposedly, you know, picked this doll up on a trip, which, you know, why would, I don't know, maybe at that time it wasn't creepy, but looking at the pictures, like, I would never have bought my child this fucking doll.
Give me a toy boat, man. Something cooler than that.
Yeah, but then you, that brings.
Yeah, give me a doll that's large enough that we can place my now too small clothes, that we can place it on this guy, on this doll.
Well, it's funny that you bring up the boat thing, but that kind of reminds me of it, man. You know what happened to Georgie when the boat went down the water, down the street? You know, clown fucking ate him. So I don't know if I want a boat either, but nonetheless, so I don't know. I think we're kind of
in it. Talking about a toy boat. You kind of sail it. It's not, you don't have to ride in a toy boat, dude. I don't know what boat you're talking about. I can get you a real boat if you want one.
No, he didn't ride in it. It was a paper boat that his brother made for him. And he went out, and every time it rains, I don't know. Have you seen it?
I've seen the original It.
Okay, well, I mean, it's
similar. Oh, what's the guy's name? I think he has a girl's first name. Jamie? The guy from Home Alone.
I don't remember, dude. I don't know.
You know the bellhop? Not the bellhop. He was the front man. The concierge. There we go. Now I got the name.
There you go.
The concierge. Curry, Steve Curry. No, that's not.
There you go. That sounds right to me.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah,
I've seen the original in the 80s. It was a two-part miniseries on national television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that wraps it up, dude. I think we're kind of in agreement. And again, one final thought, I guess, and I know I mentioned it earlier, was I think that people have, you know, so many people. I mean, he has a social media following bigger than me, you know, me obviously, but like a lot of famous people. And it's sort of like the Slender Man thing. So many people have talked about it. It's almost as if they've spoken him into existence. So I think the legend, you know, legend will probably never die due to this, because people are fascinated.
I think you hit on the nose, Trevor.
Yeah, people are fascinated with it. And so, you know, we go in there hearing all these stories, you know, like Christian said earlier, we may perceive it to actually really happen when it's just our minds playing tricks on us. So that's my final thoughts. And I think we've pretty well covered Robert. So hope you guys enjoyed that one. That was actually pretty fun. I think it was one of our better ones. You know, sometime here in the future, we'll cover some other dolls. We'll probably combine some. I think Christian had a couple in mind. And then obviously the glorious Annabelle that's in our logo. So, yep, that's it, guys. Appreciate you tuning in every week. It seriously means the world to us. Every week so far, we've beat our download record, and you know, it may not be massive or anything. You know, it's about 300 or so people. So,
insert dick joke. 1-star rating.
Yeah, we're gonna get another 1-star for that. So, yeah, shout out to you, Malmtree and Coco. Thanks for listening, anyways. Even though you hated it.
Hey, but I will say this: we're not adverse to criticism, but we do like it in a constructive manner. We're learning.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really constructive. I mean, I guess in a sense, you guys say too many jokes. Well, you know what? That's just our personality. That's how we are in person. So why would we change that just for one person? And I know we keep harping on this. We're not really that butthurt about it. So it probably sounds like it, but, you know, you hit us right in the jejunum. You know, we didn't die, though. So anyways, that's it, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Till next week. Peace.